It's good to be here tonight. I already feel like I've been to church, don't you? Appreciate the good preaching Brother Hyatt done. And Lord helped him and how it helped my heart. I thought he's going to completely take the message that the Lord had laid on my heart, but God's Word will complement God's Word. It always will. Before I read to you, I want to say this about what he preached about the lady going to the man in the hospital there. Brother Tonkin and I spent some time together while he was in, and we was out of doing. I don't know if he's personally together on the phone, but we talked together quite a bit and fellowshipped a lot while he was in, and he was telling about some people who went to a leper's colony, and it was a difficult thing to see, they said, going in there and those people with that disease. And so there was this little man there, and his hands were kind of eat off the nubs, and said the Holy Spirit said to hug that man. And she said, I can't. I said, you know, just the odor and everything, I don't know if I can do that. And said, God said, hug that man. She said, I got down there and I put my arms around him and just squeezed him up real tight and held him. I said, it wasn't long that I could feel those little nubs just patting me on the back. I said, I heard a little voice said, Jesus, I knew you'd come. That tore me up right there. That's right, brother, what you said. That's right. We are the body. He lives in us. And he sent back His Holy Spirit to live in the church, and that's as real as Him. He said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. That tore me up. I mean, it made me want to just jump up and holler, but Jesus, I knew you'd come. And I mean, there's power, ain't he? Just there's power in God. Power in His Word, power in His hand, His touch, and there ain't nothing like it. I spent a good little bit this evening in Ephesians 4 just praying over at the room and over at Brother Logan's house, and it had a great strong connection with what's on my heart tonight in Psalms 133, if you got your Bible. Psalms 133. It's good to be here tonight. Thankful the Lord let us come be a part of these services. Just three verses here in this little psalm, but it says a lot. And I have had this on my heart ever since Brother Logan gave us an invitation to come and said, felt like the Lord wants us to be over here. And this has been on my heart. And I feel like what the preacher preached tonight is very, very beneficial to all of us. And I feel like that, as I said, God's Word will complement God's Word. And he preached a little bit there. I thought he would probably get on over in the rest of the chapter. Unity is mentioned twice in Ephesians 4. And I want to read about it here, and I want to preach on unity with the help of the Lord tonight. Psalms 133 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, and is as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. You can be seated. Appreciate you standing, and I appreciate tonight the Word of God. I'll preach kind of along and just kind of stay here with my Bible tonight and try to let the Lord use us and lead us along as we try to preach. He mentioned about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, how you got to work at it. And it is a wonderful thing that God has spoken through the psalmist here, unity is. He starts off with the word behold. That's to look upon, consider, to think about it. Give attention to unity. He's drawing our attention to unity. He says, first of all, how good is it? How good is unity? It's good. He says, and not just how good it is, but how pleasant is it? It's a wonderful thing. It's a pleasant thing. It's to be enjoyed. Pleasant. There's pleasant odors, pleasant smells, pleasant atmospheres. Unity will bring that. I like to be in that atmosphere of unity, don't you? It's a good place to be. He says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Brethren, he says, when brethren dwell together in unity, when they dwell together, not just really pass by and passing, but dwelling in unity. I think about this dwelling here, and I thought about it. My mind was taken over there to where there was the sons of the prophet and the man of God. They said to him, the place where we dwell is too straight. They wanted to build another dwelling place. You know, that's where they left and went down there, and one was falling a beam, and he fell a beam, and he lost his axe head. And you know, I've heard a lot of sermons on that. I've heard preaching on the cutting edge, losing the power of God, lots of different things. Brother Logan said he preached a message on, are we chopping wood or beating bushes? I mean, there's a lot of things can be said about it. But I think that we lose something when we fail to dwell together. When we separate, we lose something. Unity is a oneness. It's a bringing together of the people of God. And when brethren, God just sort of dealt with me on it. I believe that the men ought to lead. I know that a lot of time in Christ, there's neither male or female. But I do believe that we ought to lead our families in this direction. I believe that men in the church ought to promote unity. Sometimes to promote unity, you know, and I want to be careful here. But I've seen a time or two when a man need to tell his wife, honey, be quiet. We're trying to have unity at church. You know that's right. It is true. God told me to say it. I mean, we need that in our day. We need unity. I'll be honest with you, and I don't want to cast a bad light upon anything, but when I go back the road and I go around that curve and I see two Baptist churches that I can almost bounce a rock off when it bothers me. It always has bothered me when it's that away and it's somewhere in the past, brethren divided. It could have been, had to be, it could have been over truth. But if we were right, the Word of God will bring us together in unity. I'm thinking about brethren dwelling together in unity. I go to Ephesians 4 where the Lord said He gave apostles and pastors and teachers. He did that for the perfecting of saints till we all come to the unity of the faith. Ain't that what He said? And so that's growing up, as Brother Hyde preached. I've grown up some. Grown-ups really ought to be able to get along better than kids, but it seems like it's backwards. Little kids, you know, they'll have a little scuffle. If you leave them alone, they'll be all right. They'll be buddies the next day. I've seen it in school. They'll bust one another's nose one day, and they'll be fine the next. But grown-ups got to get involved. I played Little League Baseball, and it's fun to us, but grown-ups took it so serious it took the fun out of it. As competitive, got competitive spirit, and we couldn't just enjoy it. And it seemed like that has came into the house of God, and it's robbed us of our unity. And when we lose our unity, we lose something good, the Bible said, and we lose something pleasant. And He said, how good it is and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, it is like the precious ointment that upon the head and then that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron. And we know that this was a symbolic of the anointing of God on the high priest. I believe that God is saying that God will anoint unity. Do you believe that tonight? God will put His hand of approval. That's what it means. My hand is upon this man. I have anointed him. And God said that when brethren dwell together in unity, it'll be like this special anointing. It'll be like this precious ointment. Something's precious. It's highly esteemed. It is of great value. And God says unity is of great value. When brethren dwell together in unity, it's good and it's pleasant. And it's like the precious ointment that fell upon his head. Even Aaron's head. And it ran down all over him. And unity will bring that power in the church. It'll bring that on a church, on a body of people. When we dwell together, God put His hand on it. He said, it's like this anointing on Aaron. Unity is like that. He said that it is like the dew of Hermon. Unity is like the dew of Hermon. And before I preach about the dew of Hermon, I might preach about the dew a little bit. We know the dew falls on the grass early in the morning through the condensation of the cold and hot air in the night. And that's what you walk out early, the dew will be on the ground there. And we know that the dew is very important, especially in dry times. I'll say the church is not always going to be on the mountain. We're not always going to be a shouting on the hilltop. We will go through the valleys, Brother Roger. We will go through some dry times. But I'll tell you, when it's getting real serious, it's when you walk out and ain't been no rain and ain't no dew on the ground. But I get a little dew on the ground, you can endure some dry times. I'll tell you, if a church has got unity, she can go through some hard times. She can face some storms. If we got unity, he said unity is like the dew. Not just any dew though. Not just any dew. It's like the dew of Hermon. Hermon is a mountain where it was a snow-capped mountain there. And condensation, that snow that was on that mountain would form in the night and it would go out in the dry valleys all around Mount Zion in dry places there in Jerusalem and it would bring fruitful yields into those valleys and there was no rain from about May to October, but the dew was just so powerful. It said even when it fell on the plants, it was like it had fertilizer in them. It just brought fruit. And I believe when God's people dwell together in unity, we'll be a fruitful people. I believe when everything around us is parched and dry and ain't nothing good going on, there'll be a fragrance come from the fruit of God. You believe that this evening? I mean, it's something worth working for, brother. It's a goal ahead of us as endeavor and my endeavors. It ought to be what it is as a pastor to promote unity in the church. The man of God is to preach the word of God to bring the sheep together. He said, woe to the pastors that scatter the flock. I may have to run a few wolves off, but we're not supposed to run sheep off. We're supposed to give our life for the sheep, to draw sheep together into a place of unity. Our Lord will do that for us. He will lead us in unity. He'll bring us together. He did that through the work of Christ as to one body and to unity with one another. He said that dew would go out into that valley and said it would just be unbelievable in those dry seasons. How precious that dew, what it really meant. And so let me go over it again. Behold how good, how unity's good, how unity's pleasant. When brethren dwell together in unity, I'm talking about rubbing shoulders, dwelling together, living together. We're in a inn. I mean, we've been in the last days ever since Christ. I know that. But we're closer now than we've ever been. And he tells us to exhort one another today while it is called today. And not be not as they were in their day and hardening their hearts. We need one another. We need unity. We're not in this thing together. We're vulnerable when we separate. When we go off on our own, we're vulnerable to our mind is vulnerable to the lies of Satan. Our eyes are vulnerable to temptations. But we need one another, friend. We need unity. I don't say out of this little band of people when the visiting churches are gone and not calling off service and coming to be with you and you're back to your faithful few. I promote unity. I stay together. Love one another. Amen. Love one another. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Bond of peace. God's give you a man to lead you that'll promote unity. A pastor is a gift to the church. He's a gift. Said God gave. Ain't that a gift? God gave to the church. He's a gift to the church. Pray for him. Don't expect him to just get up here and feed you. Pray for him. You come in hungry, praying, God will feed you through him. And the Lord will lead you into maturity as believers. And he'll do that until we all grow up into him, which is the head, which is Christ. We can't measure ourselves by one another. He said, they that do this, it's not wise. But Christ is the measuring stick. It is to be like Jesus. And boy, he endured a lot of things, didn't he? And he said, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds, we consider him. which endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself. He said, you've not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. We've not been through what he went through. And never would he ask us to go through anything that he didn't already go through. He's our forerunner. He's our pattern. We follow him, we'll be in unity. We'll be in unity. He said, it's like that precious ointment, that valuable ointment. I think about that woman anointing the Lord there, and their attitude was, could this not be sold and given to the poor? This precious ointment. I read about this ointment here. I believe it was about 500 shekels. I think I read in Deuteronomy what it was of high worth. I'll say unity is priceless. Unity is priceless to a church. I've seen people get together and they didn't have all their doctrine nailed down right. They didn't understand, as Brother Hyde said, they didn't know what a dispensation was. If you'd have said, are you premillennial? They wouldn't have known what you was talking about. If you'd have said, are you amillennial? What are you talking about? They just knew that Jesus was a Savior and He was coming back, and they loved Him because He saved them. And I got saved in a church like that. I got saved in that, and they had unity, and they loved one another, and God's power was there. And some of them preachers didn't. I mean, they was very uneducated, and I'm not a slanting it at all. But you don't really learn this stuff intellectually. It's taught of God. It's taught of God to the heart. He said it's like the dew. I was reading about the dew one time, and it said dew is dew is good for young plants. It said dew is a lot like the grace of God. It falls on us so gently at times, just a good touch. It said when a hard downpour would just beat us down, but that dew comes so softly upon us in the dark times, in the night, we can just soak it up. I'll say there's some young people around the church, some little ones that need to see God's people in unity. They'll pay attention to that. They'll notice that. He said, let brotherly love continue. Carry it on. Let it continue. Unity is worth striving for. It's worth having. If we can't have it, we really can't have a productive church. If we can't get along, if we can't forbear, as the brother said, I really had to do a lot of work and studying on that word at the other church I was. I tried to preach at there. We had a large crowd, and I thought I'd got away from that when I left there, and we started a church with 9 charter members, and we're up about 15, I guess, members, and I have about 40 in regular attendance, and I thought I'd got away from all that. You ain't going to when you got people. Because we're just who we are. I'm just who I am. There's things about me, that little quirks that I don't even know I got unless God tells me. I may not even realize it. Look, I may do something that just annoys the fire out of you and not even know it. I may have some type of man. I don't know that I do, but I may. But don't never think that you don't have none of that either. And so we do have to understand that. And we do have to work with one another. Love one another right where we're at. And God has taught me that. And unity with just a few. It's better for just a few. And where there's quietness is unity. And a great multitude. And strife. Right? And strife. But when we get unity, we get something precious, church. We get something that's good. We get something that's pleasant. We get something that'll get us through some dry times, some hard times. We get something that's worth having. And it'll mean more to you. Listen, I think things are really going to change in our country. Yes, sir. I think God's been good to us and may have spared us some time here maybe and give us a little space. But I think things are really going to change. I think life for us may change. I'll not be lying to you. Deep down in my heart, I have some anxiety maybe about it. I don't know how strong we are as a people of God to, but it could be good for us to see how much we really do need one another. There's a lot of things that mean a lot to us now in times of prosperity that when all that's taken away, it won't mean too much. You won't care about that, all that man's theology if he knows how to pray. You'll be wanting him on your side. We'll be needing one another. And we'll be loving one another more. That early church was that away. And we've seen what God done for them. He'll do that for us. I've given my heart tonight. I'm glad, ain't you, tonight, what God has said about unity in His Word. It's a wonderful thing. I would charge you, I would encourage you to strive for that, to promote that and work toward that. It is a wonderful thing.